Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, a series of special rebroadcasts. You know, some programs just need to be brought back because of their impact and influence. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle, and our featured guest, Eiichi Jumawan. Enjoy. We have a special guest today. You ever find yourself faced with a situation where you are looking eyeball to eyeball with unexpected circumstances? Things that when you woke up in the morning, you could not have foreseen, or even if you were able to foresee it, the reality of it is far different than just the idea of it. And now you find yourself in the thick of a tough situation. What do you do? How do you respond? And is it possible that in the midst of that, God can bring you a renewed purpose, even through these unexpected circumstances? Our special guest today has a very decorated career, to say the least. His name is Eiichi Jumawan. He joins us today. Eiichi is the head coach of Pearlside Boxing Club, a man of positive influence, building character in young lives, instilling a sense of civic duty, and guiding athletes to achieve national recognition. Eiichi is a two-time national champion, AAU All-American Boxing Team member, 1975 and 78. He was a U.S. Olympic team runner-up in 1976, a historic year, of the likes of Sugar Ray Leonard, Aaron Pryor, Michael Spinks. He is a national Golden Glove silver medalist in 75 and 78, six-time Hawaii State boxing champion from 1972 to 1980, five-time Hawaii Golden Gloves champion from 75 to 80, and unbeaten in his professional career, 8-0. Not many people can say that. Eiichi, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you.
Wow, it's great to have you here with us, Eiichi, and it's funny to, you know, encourage everyone with, you know, sharing your story. You know, how did you come to know the Lord?
You know, it's been a long time ago, but it was right in the middle of my boxing career. I was just about to step into the ring the next day in the finals to compete for the national championship. You know, and I noticed that the night before the big bout, that I was abandoned by everybody. Nobody was in my room. No, my coaches were gone. All my teammates were out partying because, you know, they all lost. So they didn't have to, you know, psych themselves up for the next day's event. And it was just me all by myself. And, you know, I was getting nervous and scared and, you know, really, really uneasy. And there was, you know, I was missing something. I was missing strength. I was missing peace. I was missing courage. So, you know, I knew that in every hotel room, right, there's a Bible, you know, Gideon's Bible. The Gideon's Bible. So, you know, I reached out for that and I said, you know, maybe I can find something in here or, you know, read, take my time off, take things off my mind. So I started reading the Bible and then, you know, then I read this thing called the Sinner's Prayer. And, you know, I've never on my own or anybody has ever led me to say the Sinner's Prayer and accept Christ, you know. And I read that if you do that, then you know, God is with you. And if God is with you, then who can be against you? And say, oh, this is what I need, you know. So there I just turned 18 years old. I started reading that and then, you know, pretty much on my knees, reading that, really saying it to my heart and saying it to God and mm-hmm. accepted Christ.
Wow. And when you did that, I mean, you know, you had a renewed confidence in you right before you went out there to fight that night.
I mean, local style, talk about chicken skin moment. I mean, right there, you know, I think I was in Knoxville, Tennessee or Louisiana or some, wow. you know, state like that. And all of a sudden, you know, the Hawaiian chicken skin came on me, you know, and then, you know, I just felt confident. I felt this, you know, I didn't know at the time, you know, the kind of words that you use when you're a Christian, right?
Right.
But it was a peace, a confidence that I had. And, you know, I was ready to step into the ring with, you know, Joe Frazier if I had to.
Smoking Joe.
So how'd you do? I mean, so the next day you go out, you fight that bout. How'd
yeah.
it go?
And, you know, next day I go out and, you know, it was like there was no fear at all. I was just out there doing the best I could do. And the will to win was unbelievable. I remember having that will to win. I was going in there trading blows with my opponent. I remember there was one point in that fight, you know, we were looking toe-to-toe. We were just banging, you know, toe-to-toe, just sweat flying. He hit me, and I could see my own sweat flying or my blood flying. You know, I don't know what it was. But there was a moment we just paused, and me and him were just looking eye to eye, just looking at each other, you know, with nobody willing to take that step back, yeah. you know, and I wasn't going to. All of a sudden, he took one step back,
ooh.
Right? And then right there in my mind, I said to myself, oh, I got you. and that was it. It was like I was the aggressor in that whole bout, you know, really pressed it, and, you know, I won. And at the end, when I won the title, and the referee raised my hand, I remember like looking straight up to God and saying thank you, you know, with both hands raised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So coming out of that, you know, you had that experience, you know, coming face to face with God, and you win the national championship coming home. But you actually didn't really continue your walk with God. You believe in him, you received him, you're excited about it, but you need to connect with other Christians.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at that time, I was only 18 years old. There was no leadership from any church around because, you know, I was in the hotel room by myself, right? So, you know, I knew that I believed in God. And you know how it is, you know, a lot of athletes get interviewed, you know,
yeah,
and they would
right.
say, oh, yeah, thank God, you know, and all this. But we really don't have a relationship. I did not have a relationship at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I believed in God. And God loved me because he backed me up in that ring, you know, all the time. So I always had that belief in there, but I really did need a connection with a church or a brother or somebody to kind of lead me. And it didn't come till years later.
Wow. Isn't it amazing? And some people are like that out there where they, you know, have a moment like you in the hotel where they pray and they really feel God's presence and the peace of God coming on them and giving them confidence to do what they, you know, they want to do, but not really having that ongoing relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you found that several years later, as you connected with a person who was going to church, and he invited you out.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it was my boss when I first got in. You know, it was like 8 to 10 years later when I got into the insurance business, life insurance business. And my manager, or the guy that recruited me, Roy Ogasawara, you know, he was the one that invited me to church. And then I went to the church that he went to. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had Bible study and I started reading the Bible for a purpose, not just when I was afraid and needed help, you know, and that's when I started to learn about it. And, you know, what our purpose is it here in life and everything else.
So you begin to start a relationship with God and then, you know, studying the Bible with these other people. And you find that now it's not you just believing, but now you're actually walking in a relationship with God.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then, you know, as you start to connect and have a relationship with God, all of a sudden you feel this accountability,
yeah.
you know, responsibility, you know, that it's not all about you anymore.
Right, right, right.
Well, that's good. You know, I think a lot of people out there questioning their purpose in life, wondering, you know, what am I here for? They say, yeah, I believe in God. You know, I pray once in a while. I had an experience like you did, champ, in the ring where you experienced the Holy Spirit and all that. But they don't ever find their purpose. And I like how you said, because you started to find your purpose after you came to really know God through mm-hmm. being discipled in a church, plugged in with a group of people to walk with you, you know, mm-hmm. in your relationship with God. So I think that's significant, because a lot of people want to know, how do I find my purpose? Well, you find your purpose when you find your people and you get plugged into a good spiritual family that can help guide you.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, that's the basic biblical model, yeah. infrastructure that God has set up for the life of anybody. Mm-hmm. We were never meant to live the Christian life in an isolated fashion.
That's right.
We were not designed to live that. We're social beings. We're people who are relatable people. We have interrelative characteristics, capabilities, and we, as iron sharpens iron, right. so one man sharpens another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. So even back then in Bible times, people were, you know, kind of hiding out, kind of Christians.
The Lone Ranger.
And living on their own. There's times when you can actually start thinking weird thoughts.
That's right.
When you're on your own, because there's no mirror. There's no one to share your ideas with. And then and a lot of times we isolate ourselves too, mm-hmm. because of insecurities, because we feel like we don't want to be challenged. We want to kind of live in our own controlled little world, but it might be some fake world that really doesn't have much substance or even integrity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, in light of all of that, you know, your career is you have a storied career. I mean, Aichi, you're distinct in Hawaii in the boxing ranks. There isn't anybody who can say that they've accomplished these things that you have. God has really given you a unique platform.
Yeah, that's right.
And we want to hear more about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you were kind of coming out of this, you had a desire to start working with some other people, training other young champions coming up the ranks. And, mm-hmm. and you know, what evolved from that was you did this boxing club thing. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a process. It took time to get there because, you know, at the time when I accepted Christ, it was all about me.
Right.
You know, it was like I was a competitor. I was an athlete, nationally ranked athlete, and, you know, wanted to become an Olympic champion and all of that. So, mm-hmm. You know, at the time, you know, I call that my young and stupid days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't realize how selfish you really are at the time, because it's all about you and your mm-hmm. own purpose, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, after I had a pretty good run as an athlete, then all of a sudden, you know, and my professional boxing career started to stall, that I started to think, you know what, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time I change course and check out what's the next phase of my life. You know, and I had to really take a reflection, take time, take a pause, and reflect back on my career. What have I accomplished? What have I done? Am I proud of that? And I was. All those things was yes. But the big question was, okay, what do I do next? You know, and then that's when I started to entertain the thought of, you know what, if I quit boxing at this point because I've accomplished everything, I've become this mega star, at least here in Hawaii, if I stop there, you know, it ends. My life ends pretty much. My boxing ends. I wanted to perpetuate that. I love the sport because I seen what it did for me. A boy with a name like Aichi Jumua that nobody could pronounce, short, he's half black, curly hair, got teased, got picked on, and then, you know, I accomplished so much, right? So there's something there other than the sport that made me achieve and overcome things. And I said, that's what I need to teach to the next generation. So that's when I started to entertain, okay, I got to start a boxing club. I got to teach this so that the story perpetuates, the boxing perpetuates.
Well, you know, Aichi, you know, you're just warming us up, man, right now. I mean, well, you know, when we come back from our break, we want to go deeper and find out more about what God has been doing in your life. You know, that's one of the great and amazing things about people's lives is the ability to extract various lessons that are applicable to many people, things that people can use in their lives today. You are already an encouragement. We call you champ. Yeah. You are a champ.
Yeah, that's right.
Not only the champion that is now a champion for young people, but champion for all of us. Champion in the name of Christ. And even today, as you're listening, God has sent Champ here to say something to you that you need right now that's going to encourage you and lift you up to help you find a renewed purpose even in the midst of unexpected circumstances. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The barren sky. Leave it to me.
I'll lead you home. On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm so glad you're with us. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program, which is part of the Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show, along with other resources for living the good life, and to find out how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more, along with my co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle. Here's more with Eiichi Jumawan.
You know, before the break, Eiichi was sharing with us about how he found God's purpose for his life, that it wasn't just about being a champ himself, being successful himself, but really passing on those principles of success and overcoming to young people. And so you started a boxing club geared to reaching and training young people, not just for success in the ring, but for success in life. Do you have any stories, an example maybe of someone's life that was touched and changed through your leadership?
You know, we started Pearlside Boxing back in 1997 out of the warehouse of Grace Bible Church, you know. And the only thing is, since then, it's like 12 years. So, you know, a number of kids, young adults have gone through our boxing program, You know, I mean, Colleen Liu became a 2 or 3 time national champion at 101 pounds. Awesome. We've had a few guys that were junior Olympic state champions and then, you know, amateur boxing champions. But in fact, today I went to the doctor, right? And there's this nurse who's taking care of my vitals and everything. And then she goes, "Coach, don't you remember me? I'm Marla. I'm the first girl you ever had boxing for." Wow. You. And then she's like, "Wow." I didn't recognize her because she was like maybe 13 when she started to come, you know. Wow. And now she's, you know, I don't know, in her late 20s or 30s or something. She said, wow. And she said, "You know what? I got 6 kids now, you know. Wow. And I want to send them to you." You know, but one person I want to highlight, you know, and this person has never won a significant title or anything. Kid's name is Mackie Ige, MacArthur. We call him, we tease him, MacArthur, you know. But Mackie, you know, when he first came to boxing, right, he was so quiet. I mean, he would not talk to anybody. He'd just, you know, in fact, when we'd have boxing, even before we warm up in it, he'd be standing by himself all on the side. He was like barely 16 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, stand off to the side, wouldn't talk to anybody, but he would come to boxing. I remember having a discussion with his dad, you know, about Mackie, and his dad goes, "You know, I'm worried about that boy. You know, he has no personality." You know, and then today, right, if you've seen, he's totally different. I mean, he's come to the gym and he's like totally confident. Wow. He's walking around, joking, playing around with all the guys, you know. And you know, he has a girlfriend, right? and you know, he's a senior in high school now, but his girlfriend is like already graduated. So we're like teasing him, like, "Whoa, look at him. You know, 2 years ago, he couldn't talk to anybody. And then now he's got that." But see, what's significant is this. Last weekend, he fought in the state boxing championships over at in Waikiki, Queen Kapi'olani Hotel. Yeah. Mackie has only 5 bouts on his record. That's all, 5. That's the minimum to qualify to compete in the state tournament. So he goes in, he draws a bite to the final, and who he draws is last year's state champion, last year's ringside national champion. You know, and this boy from Waianae, Anton Pereira, is like all world here in Hawaii. You know, he's like got, you know, probably close to or over 50 recorded bouts. Wow. On his record. And, he, you know, he was voted the outstanding boxer of our state boxing tournament this past weekend. So he goes into the ring with Mackie, and Mackie's only got 5 fights on his record. Oh, right? Going into it, I told Mackie, "Okay, Mackie, you're going to have to be a warrior tonight." Okay? We know you're going to get hit. We know that. But we got to stick to the fight plan. And Mackie did, right? Mackie boxed. He moved. I mean, he got out of the way just when the guy was ready to load up on him, you know, and threw off the other guy's balance. At the end, I mean, Mackie even took a standing 8 count. He got hit so hard.
Wow.
You know? But Mackie survived. He wasn't, you know, talk about heart, right? The average athlete would have gone down and given up. But no, he put his hands up and told the referee, "Yeah, I can still keep going, you know?
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to quit here." Right, and he right, continued. Right. Now, the bout ended. We lost on a decision, on points. Mm. At the end, though, okay, this is how well he did. His opponent, Anton Pereira, took Mackie by the hand, raised Mackie's hand up,
wow.
and circled the ring.
Whoa.
And yeah, just drew respect. Applause from everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
And, oh man, what sportsmanship from Anton Pereira,
sure, uh-huh. sure.
you know? Yeah. Okay? But that acknowledged what Mackie had accomplished.
Wow.
That, you know, here he was. Everybody expected him to get knocked out or totally pummeled.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he survived. Not only survived, he even rocked the state champion
wow.
a couple mm-hmm. of times. Mm-hmm. You know, got a good crack, couple of cracks in,
yeah.
you know, and survived that round.
Wow.
You know, and at the end, you know, he won the accolades of everybody in the audience. And he was the talk of the night. Everybody couldn't believe that MacArthur, you know, survived.
He stood up.
And stood up and actually, you know, stood wow. back. So, you know, he made me look good, like I was a good coach or something,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. But that's wow. got to make you feel good to see, I mean, these students that you're coaching, these young people grow up and now having kids, now being successful in other areas of their life, because life throws at us a lot of challenges that we need to overcome. And like you said, you saw the heart in him to keep on fighting. I mean, you yourself have faced some challenges that have that maybe you thought you couldn't beat through, but you did, even recently.
Yeah. Coach. You know, recently, this past December, I know, you know, just being with Ichi and his family, he went through a difficult time. And Ichi, maybe you can share with us a little bit about what you went through this past December with some unforeseen circumstances, you know, came your way, and it almost tried to knock you out, but actually you survived it and persevered through it.
Yeah, well, my father passed away, you know, and it was like, you know, really unexpected. He went to the doctor at first, like, you know, a lot of things for something minor, and then the doctor goes, you know, I think you need to get this procedure for your heart. You know, it's going to make you better, make you feel better, make you breathe easier. And so he went in. Everybody understood. It's risky, but it's going to make him better. Mm-hmm. He goes in, and the first prognosis is, oh, he did well. He did super. You know, everything's mm-hmm. fine. Everything's right on schedule. And then within the 2 days, all of a sudden, complications. And we're not sure what's going on. You know, it is. I'm pretty sure the doctors were doing their best to try to figure out what was going wrong. But, you know, in and out, and he had like two or three other surgeries, and he got worse and worse and worse, you know. Mm. So in the end, then, you know, then he passed.
Yeah. I remember being with you and the family that particular morning. I remember getting the phone call. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things I remembered as we walked into the chapel with your family and as you know, they brought your dad's body down, and mm-hmm. I remember your mom over your dad. She just started to worship God, mm-hmm. and praise God and thank God for all, you know, the time that she had, you know, with your dad, and she just started to worship God. I mean, you talk about a chicken skin moment, mm-hmm. man. I was so touched by that, and I looked around. You know, every family member was just, you know, tears in their eyes, and just to see the perspective your mom had on this whole situation. You know, she could have easily been angry at God or be bitter, but she chose to be thankful and praise mm-hmm. God. I tell you, champ, I'll never forget that for the rest of my life.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, my mom got up, started, you know, talking calmly at first and everything. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, she thrust her hands in the air and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus." Yeah. Right? Okay. Now, as she's doing that, all of a sudden the lights go out.
Yeah, I remember.
And then the lights flick back on again. Right? And it was like, whoa, okay. God, thank you for acknowledging. And that's when, you know, it's like, whoa, chicken skin here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, you're right. I mean, that is the way my mom is. You know, she chose to celebrate the fact that, you know, my God is taking care of my husband.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? He's a Christian. He's a believer. And we know that he's at a better place. He doesn't have to worry about dialysis anymore. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to worry about, you know, heart treatments anymore and taking his medication and, you know, being careful about what he eats and everything. Now he's smiling. He's at peace. Mm-hmm. He's having fun. You know, and that's what my mom chose believe in.
It's amazing because it seemed like everyone pulled on the strength that was in your mom. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got there at the hospital, the first thing I was worried about was his mom, how she's going through it. Mm-hmm. And I realized mm-hmm. she's like the rock of the family. And by her, you know, expressing that thanksgiving to God, man, it made an impact on your family members. I'm sure it helped you process, you know, this whole thing about your dad passing into eternity.
Yeah. I think it helped the whole family, you know, put into the idea because, you know, not everybody in my family goes to church on a regular basis and stuff. You know, a good number of them do. But, you know, all of a sudden, I think it made a connection with them to eternity that, you know, we're only here on earth for a short period of time and then we're going to pass on to the next life. So, you know, we better be with God or we're going to be in trouble.
Mm. Wow, you know, it just brings to mind this testimony of your mom, Ichi. This passage of scripture, it's a great scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, the latter part of the verses. And it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The God, the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, does not grow weary, nor does he tire. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I think about your mom, who in that moment, where that precarious moment where one could go one way or the other, there was a supernatural, a divine infusion that of lifting up her heart and life, and changed the whole atmosphere in that room. And I cannot help but to think that God sent you here, and we're talking about this testimony right now because somebody is listening right at this moment, and they're at the crossroads. They can go one way or the other. They can, with their own will, and God loves us so much, he gives us free choice. They can choose to turn their back on God, or they can choose to press in and to thank God. Thank you, Lord, for this unforeseen circumstance. Thank you, Lord, for this challenge. Thank you, Lord, for this seeming setback. Thank you, Lord. And I say to you today, how will you respond? Will you respond and press in and love God all the more and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just like Eichi's mom, just like Champ's mom did. Because if you do, something will happen in your own relationship with God. But you know, you have a strength and a position in your situation to affect the lives of people around you, a spouse, a child. And if you're a child, you can affect the perspective and the atmosphere even in the lives of your parents or your uncles and aunties and friends. You know, our phone lines are open at 296-5467. Maybe you want to share something in relation to this. Maybe you want to talk to Eichi Jumuan. We're going to be here. And when we come back, we'll go deeper in his life and what God is doing in him and in you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Leave it to me. I lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chineta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
You're listening.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's good to have you with us. Ever faced unexpected circumstances? We can all relate with that. Today's show connects with such happenings, such moments in our lives. It's a special rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to receive our ministry resources and also discover how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take in more of The Good Life along with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle, and our featured guest, Eiichi Jumawan. Welcome back to our broadcast. We're here with our special guest, Eiichi Jumawan, and we were talking about, just before the break, talking about the way we respond to that unforeseen circumstance and how we can respond often one way or the other. And in light of that, how Eiichi's mom chose, even in the passing of her husband, Eiichi's dad, to give praise to God in a real, you know, real heart-touching moment. And also how that relates to you and to me, to us today.
You know, one of the things about that, Eiichi, you know, my mom passed on to be with the Lord too. You know, the hope as Christians that one day we're going to see our moms and our dads again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the greatest hope that the Bible, you know, gives us comfort that although they're not here with us here on this earth, we're going to see them again one day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, coming out of this whole experience with, you know, your dad passing on and going to heaven, you know, God began to work in your life like a renewing of your vision and what you do. And, you know, what coming out of that, what has been going on in your heart, in your life?
You know, it has been a process, you know. I think I've had a renewed urgency. You know, it's like a sense of urgency that we don't have too much time left on this earth. Mm-hmm. And if we wait around, if we procrastinate, if we delay, especially when you believe that God is leading you or God is talking to you, God is telling you, you know, to try something or do something or accomplish something, you know, and then you hesitate, you hold back because of fear, you know, because of apprehension, you know, anxiety, and all these other reasons. You know, when I saw my dad pass like that, and I think it really kind of kicked me, you know, gave me a kick in the butt and told me, you know, it's time, you better start making some moves, you know. I mean, I've been, you know, how do I say it, galloping along or dancing along, running my boxing program, and it's been successful and everything. But, you know, on the high side, I mean, there's so much more that I can do. There's so much more young people that I can touch, right?
Wow.
And, you know, I've always had a Christian base in my boxing program. You know, we pray a lot. We look for opportunities to pray for people, you know, and that's pretty much been it. But I've always had this prompting to, you know, maybe gather a small group out of the 90 or so people that are in my club and do a small group, like a small church, you know, a mini church type thing or a Bible study or something, because maybe there's a little bit more that I can go deeper into, you know. And then again, you know, the thought came in and the thought ran away because, you know, I'm too hesitant or too procrastinating. But see, this is where my wife Robin comes in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so by her being my partner in the boxing ministry, you know, we call it a ministry. It's not just a boxing club.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a ministry because we touch lives, we mentor people, and we help people become mentors. And that's the whole plan with ProSide Boxing and Fitness. You know, Robin is the social butterfly. You know, she walks around the whole club, talking to people, connecting with parents, with other moms and dads, the young people, from the young 8-9 year old kids to the young adults in their 20s, you know, they would open up to Robin like they would never open up to me. You know, she's like mom, right? You can tell your deepest, darkest secrets to mom, and Robin would find out about that. You know, she has this heart that just makes people open up. And then she comes to me and she tells me, you know, so and so is going through this, and this other guy is going through this. I think you can talk to him and help him out, you know, with this. And so with her encouragement and everything, we decided, you know what, we better start this small group, you know. So that's what we did. One day, I'm kind of bold like that, you know, sometimes. And I went and I said, okay, you. I started picking a counting out 10 people. And then we went on the side and we had this small group discussion. And I told them, you know, that I'm a Christian and everything, but I want to help you guys too. So this is a group where we can share about what's going on in our life, and maybe open up and be transparent. Mm-hmm. I said, because by being transparent, you know, other people can help you. And then a couple of the kids started to do that, talk about, you know, a hard time that they had and what they did, you know, some bad things that they did and how they got out of it, or how they overcame it and straighten out their lives. And pretty soon, one by one, other people start just volunteering. It was like I couldn't stop them.
Wow.
Awesome. You know, and then at the end, I would pick one of the guys and say, okay, let's close it in prayer. And, you know, they'd look at me like, oh, I don't know how to pray. But they go ahead and do it,
yeah.
You know. And it's kind of like, you know, being in a position that I am in with the club, right? I'm the coach. Yeah. You kind of like listen to whatever the coach tells you to do, right? So they do it. But then, you know what? I lead by example. They've seen me lead.
Right.
So then when their turn to step in, they kind of like follow the pattern, yeah?
Yeah.
You know? And then pretty soon, other kids that weren't in that group, they go, what you guys doing over there?
Yeah.
You know? And then we share. We tell them all. And they go, oh, can I be part of that the next time? You know, so it's like, you know, it's drawing other people in and parents in too, you know. Mm-hmm. But see, it's that sense of urgency now.
Yeah.
I gotta, you know, it's like, okay, God is blessing me with a club. God is blessing me with great athletes and we're winning titles and all of that. But I gotta be accountable to God too. You know, what can I do for God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make disciples, you know, spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what I want to do.
So you're stepping forward. It's sort of this moment with your dad, this crisis moment, unexpected circumstance, right? God used it to catapult you into a different awareness and a different drive and motivation to respond to his promptings in a different way. And as I was listening to you, Champ, I thought, you know, we have a theme in this particular segment where we're calling it Hope in a Time of Crisis. But as I was listening to you, I was thinking, geez, he's talking about hope because of crisis. Mm. Yeah. And wouldn't it just be like God to do something like that? Mm. That it's really the crisis that gives us hope because it catapults us to a new realization, a new response, a new motivation to respond promptly to God, to obey God more quickly.
A new urgency because we realize the fragility of life. You know, that we're here today, we're gone tomorrow, and if we don't fulfill our purpose, the urgency that we're going to stand, like what you're saying, before the Lord and accountable for all the young people that maybe we were assigned to reach or people were assigned to reach. You had another moment where you were faced with the urgency of life. You tell us about that.
Talking about the plane
crash?
Yeah. You know, this is way back in my fighting days, my boxing days, and I was with the United States boxing team in East Germany. We were touring East Germany, boxing up there, competing. So I was gone almost 6 weeks already from the United States, you know, and Hawaii. So on our way back from Germany, flying over the Atlantic, the team manager for the U.S. team came over to my seat and said that, you know what, H, we need, the U.S. is sending a team to Poland, you know, so and they need a featherweight. So, you know, if you want, that slot's open for you. And, you know, immediately I was thinking about myself again, right? You know, about, oh, another notch that I can, you know, score on my record and everything. I said, sure, sure, that's what I want. Okay, I'll take it. So they put me on a manifest, you know, on a travel manifest that as soon as we land in New York, you know, I wait a few hours and meet the team that's flying out from New York to Poland, right? But as we were traveling over, and then all of a sudden I had this feeling again, this prompting that said, you know, no, you shouldn't go. It was just this real mean feeling. So I'm in mid-flight now. Then I go up to my my team manager, and I said, you know what? I really don't feel like going. I don't think I should go. And, you know, he really got upset with me. You know, like I changed my mind and, you know, I'm going to mess up the plan and everything, you know. I mean, I think he even said to me, because he was really angry that I changed my mind. He said, you know, we're never going to use you again for another USA trip, you know. and you know, I just said, no, I don't feel like going.
Wow.
So I did not go. And, you know, of course, we landed in New York, then flew all the way back to Hawaii, right? I'm in Hawaii, I'm sleeping in bed. Then about 2 in the morning, I could hear the phone ringing in my house. My dad gets up to answer the phone. Then he's like visibly angry on the phone. You know, he thought it was a crank telephone call, because the guy on the other end was telling my dad, he's sorry, but he's passing on the news that the plane that I was on had crashed in Poland and everybody died. You know, and my dad thought it was a crank call. See, my name was still on the travel manifest. I was on the team, and I didn't. And then, you know, my dad was yelling back at him, are you guys crazy? My dad is, my boy is right here in his room sleeping. And he hung up, you know, slammed the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Next day, I wake up and read, you know, the headlines. You know, the team, the Poland U.S. boxing team crashed. And, you know, the Poland Airlines plane had crashed. And, you know, then I'm thinking, oh, chicken skin again. I was like, God, thank God I listened to that prompting.
Because you were supposed to be on that plane.
I was supposed to be on that plane.
Wow.
Plane. And that's why the Hawaii delegate that called my dad that night, you know, our family, you know, called, because my name was on the list.
Wow. So God, you know, preserved your life, spoke to you. You obeyed, thankfully, because there's a purpose for you to touch so many young people's lives through your boxing ministry. I think that's so amazing how God knew, and he set you up all the way from back then to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to do a reflection, you know, to look back on your life and stuff, because, you know, things like that, you know, at that moment, I didn't know what it was all about. All I was thinking was, thank God I chose not to go, right? But now as I leave, you know, here, looking back into the life, I said, wow, God saved me for a reason, you know. So I better do something with my life.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Have you ever asked yourself the question, why am I alive? Mm-hmm. Why am I here today? Yeah. Why is it that someone else may have their time cut short in a mysterious way that cannot be explained, and yet you're here? Have you ever asked yourself why you have the influence you have? Why you have the position you have? Why you've had the opportunities that you've had? Why you know people that you know, and why you've experienced the things that you've experienced? Ever ask yourself that and think about it for a while? And if you have, what have you come to realize? You know, even in these moments of reflection, as we listen to Eichi share about how in the divine destiny of God, God preserved him. Mm-hmm. And he's here. And he's going full throttle with the direction that God has given him. But I ask you today, we ask you, as friends, are you going full throttle? Are you letting God use you? And when he prompts you, are you willing to respond and obey him? We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up our program. And as we wrap up our program, Ichi is going to lead us in a prayer and pray for you. And pray that you would be in line with the Lord and that God can use, because there's so many people that you can reach. Maybe today you're searching, and God is reaching out to you right now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
That's good. That's good, Jim.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You are in for a special treat. Along with our featured guest today, this is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show as part of our Classics Collection, providing a connection with stories of faith and life from our featured guests. If you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus like our guest today, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources there too at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more, along with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle. Here's more with Eichi Jumoan.
Eichi Jumoan, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your amazing story. I think it's just such a clear example of purpose being fulfilled in a person's life. I mean, I just love how your goal is to help raise up young people, not just to be champs in the ring and to be successful in the ring, but also out of the ring, to have the heart to fight through difficult circumstances. I love that story you told about Mackie. He took that standing eight count against the state champ, and he kept on going. I mean, that's what life is all about. We get beat up, but we got to keep on going. And you know, and you found your purpose through the hardships that you went through, and that's to impart that same tenacity and heart into young people. So, H.U., I mean, we'd love it if you could pray for us and all of our listeners, that maybe you're out there today and you're wondering, why am I here? Okay, I recognize I'm still alive. God says I have a purpose, but what do you want me to do? Maybe, H.U., you can pray for our listeners, all of us out there who are contemplating, why am I here? What is my purpose to fulfill on the earth?
So,
can you pray for us?
Pray right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Father God, we just want to pray for all the people out there listening. And we want them to really contemplate and think and, you know, reflect upon their life and think, why am I here on this earth? Why has God given me? What gifts do I have? What can I do to help somebody else? There's got to be a reason for me. And Lord, I pray that everybody with that thought, that gut-wrenching wanting for purpose, will find it right now, Lord God. Mm-hmm. That they will feel or sense a prompting, a desire, an inkling, an idea, a notch, a push from something, an urging, something that's going to make them want to take that step that they have never taken before, Lord. Give them the courage, Lord, to take that step. Give them the wisdom to take that step wisely. Give them direction and a purpose, Father God. And I pray that everybody listening, Lord, that they will be able to not only do that for themselves, but also plant a seed in someone else that they know of, that they can also touch and help raise up. I pray these things, Father God. Amen.
Thank you so much, H.E. Jumo. And you know, it has been our desire on this show, The Good Life, to help unleash your God-given purpose. And, you know, we try to get guests like H.E. and different ones that just share how God has revealed their purpose, his purpose for them, through even through difficult circumstances. Last week, we had our special guest talking about how she found her purpose through battling breast cancer. Mm-hmm. We had Kelly Boy De Lima from Kopena sharing how he found God's purpose through getting off of drugs and his almost near-death accident. And, you know, God wants to reveal his purpose to every single one of us. He doesn't want us to flounder through life just trying to figure it out, grasping at straws. And, you know, to do that, we would love it if you could just continue listening every week. But we put together a Twitter page, and we would love for you to follow us on Twitter so we can keep you updated on our future shows, future broadcasts, and all that God is saying and doing. And so you can follow us at twitter.com/goodlifehawaii, and that's one word. If you don't know what Twitter is, it's a great website where we can keep in touch with you and keep you updated with what's coming up on the show, because we're going to put together some great guests in the future to talk about how they found their purpose through God and overcame some tremendous odds. So again, that website is twitter.com/goodlifehawaii.
This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Eichi Jumoan. If you'd like to learn more about our show, just like Billy said, or need prayer or want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches as well as partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. Here's a scripture for today, Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Eichi Jumoan. Until next time, along with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll